3 a.m. Tales of Terror contains explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
Well, first of all, hello and welcome back. We are back from a very long break.
Yeah, adulting.
Yeah, because school is hard. And
work.
Yeah.
The house.
Yeah. We had a lot of stuff going on that I just had to put it on pause. But I want to get back into doing it, obviously. There's just a couple things. So before our episodes were about an hour long, I want to shorten them down, one, to make it less stressful on me when editing it, because the editing was what always stressed me out and made me not really want to do it for a while. But, so if I shorten it down to about 20 to 30 minutes, I think we'll be okay. I don't think that you guys will mind. I still want to post the episodes every Monday at midnight, obviously.
Why not?
Well, 3 a.m. It was
that's the whole point of the podcast. It's 3 a.m.
Yes,
Tales of Terror.
3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is when I would post the episodes. So, and they'll be on everything. I have my RSS feed back up. I have Apple Podcasts. It'll be on all of that. So Spotify, Apple, well, I don't even know, Chromecast. What is, I don't know. It'll be on all the main podcasting places.
Tell me you don't know technology.
I don't know. So anyways, we're back, and obviously Eli is still with us, and he's obviously still the main show.
And for any new listeners, I'm Kenny. That's
I'm
Jamie.
Yes. Yeah, for any new listeners. So anyways, I guess that's pretty much it. Just wanted to make sure that I touched on the, we're going to shorten the episodes, still be doing Mondays, all of that. So, okay. Eli's here. We're ready to go. And so this episode, we're going to be telling you guys about the Forbidden City in China, and also the city in, where is it? Ukraine? Where? Chernobyl? Chernobyl? Pripyat? I think that's how you say it. Pripyat. Yeah. Where Chernobyl. That's going to be hard. Where Chernobyl happened. But first off is the Forbidden City in China, so let's go ahead and get started on that. If you ever visited the Chinese city Beijing, there's a big chance you have visited the Forbidden City. This huge palace complex is one of the tourist highlights of Beijing, and it's home to many national treasures. What many tourists don't know about it is the dark history. Intrigues and scandals have happened on a daily basis, and many have lost their lives within the walls. Is this the reason why the palace closes before sundown? The Forbidden City was constructed between 1406 and 1420 and was the first home to Emperor Yongle. Now, this is China, so you're going to have to bear with me. It's a huge complex, about 720,000 M2, not sure what that is.
Meter squared.
Okay, so it's 180 acres for Americans.
720,000 square meters for our friends on the correct measurement systems.
Okay. And consists of 980 buildings. The Forbidden City is protected by a 10-meter high wall, which is 2 miles long or 32 kilometers long.
Nope. 3.2.
Oh, it is 3.2? It's a comma. So I
kilometers.
Okay, 3.2 kilometers or 2 miles long.
Do you know what 10 meters is to feet?
No. Do you?
It's about 30.
Okay.
Give or take.
So 30 feet high.
Yes.
Okay. It was first named the Purple Forbidden City, and it's Zijin Cheng, and Z-I equals purple, Jin is forbidden, and Cheng is city, so Purple Forbidden City. The purple stood for the heavenly North Star. The city is forbidden because ordinary people are not allowed to enter. And once inside, you weren't allowed to leave. In ancient times, the emperor was said to be a son of heaven, giving him heaven's supreme power. The Forbidden City was home to 24 emperors, 14 of the Ming Dynasty and 10 of the Qing Dynasty. The last emperor was Emperor Puyi, who was permitted to live in the palace after his abdication. He secretly left the Forbidden City and Beijing in 1924. China words are hard.
China number one. The Forbidden City was the imperial palace for 492 years. The Ming Dynasty lasted from 1420 to 1644. In April 1644, it was captured by rebel forces led by Li Zicheng. He proclaimed himself emperor of the Shun Dynasty. Li Zicheng couldn't enjoy his power for long. He was forced to flee before the combined armies of the former Ming general, Wu Zhangui, and Manchu forces entered the gates. He did set fire to parts of the Forbidden City in the process. After this, the young emperor, Junxi, was proclaimed ruler of China under the Qing Dynasty. Oh, yeah, that's right, because everything on the inside's wood.
Of the Forbidden City?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they also don't use...
Oh, because it set fire to it?
Yeah, it's also... None of it has fasteners.
Fasteners.
So, like, screws and nails? They don't build buildings with screws or nails.
Oh.
Which is what's more impressive.
Yeah.
Because, like, imagine building, like, a four-story tall house without a single screw or nail. Oh. And it's like, oh, yeah, you know, it lasted the last 900 years. Cool.
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
Can you not clean your butthole so loud? Damn. Are you
talking to me or the cat?
Do you not hear him?
No.
Oh, my God.
The Palace Museum was established in 1925, right after the last emperor had left the palace. The National Palace was the place where all the national treasures were kept. Nick Cage has been there.
Oh!
A lot of these treasures had to be evacuated to Taiwan when Japan invaded China in 1931. A large part of these artifacts were returned to the museum after World War II. A small but important collection stayed behind in Taiwan, where it can now be seen in the National Museum of Taipei. So now we're going to talk about Emperor Yongle's horrific act. The first emperor to live in the Forbidden City, Emperor Yongle, was a much feared ruler. He led a scandalous life full of pleasures and lust. When Beijing was visited by several high foreign dignitaries, he had to get rid of his enormous harem. That's funny.
What?
A harem?
Yeah.
Think of it like strip club, prostitution hut, sex club.
Oh, wow.
So one horrific night in 1421, the emperor ordered his soldiers to kill nearly 3,000 people connected to his harem. By exterminating all signs of it, Yongle hoped to keep his secret safe. That night, the polished floors were flooded with blood. Girls as young as 12 or 13 were brutally ripped apart. The eunuchs and servants who watched over his so-called concubines were also slaughtered. Some were decapitated, others hacked to pieces.
Well, dang.
Well, yeah, I mean, he went through and he killed everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wanted to be the, you know, they're all about honor and stuff like that.
Right,
and you don't let anything come to light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh. So there were some survivors. A few women who were the emperor's favorites were spared. I mean, would you expect anything less? Favorite concubines became women of wealth who were given special benefits. One of these women was Lady Q? Sui? I don't know. It's C-U-I. I'm going to say it's Q-E. Q-E. I don't know. Anyways, she was the daughter of a Korean government official and was brought to the Forbidden City at the age of 14. Lady Sui was first brought to the palace in Nanjing to be taught the art of lovemaking. She kept a diary in which she described the bloody events, and her diary was later discovered. So she was brought to the Forbidden City at 14 to learn the art of lovemaking.
Yes, they still do it in North Korea.
Yeah. Lady Sui outlived the emperor, but this also meant the end of her. On the day the emperor was buried, she and 15 other favorite women were executed. That was the dying wish of Emperor Yongle. They were taken to a hall in the Forbidden City and hung from a noose made of white silk. She was only 30 years old. My gosh.
So the Chinese believe, back then.
Yeah.
That you could take stuff into the afterlife.
So he wanted to take all of his favorite women with him.
Correct. And the reason why they were hung by white silk is so it wouldn't bruise their neck when they died. So they would still be beautiful.
They would still be beautiful. That's so wrong.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, they do it all the time. Like, they did it all the time. It's not just the Chinese. Like, the Egyptians did it too. And it's just that time period of a lot of man didn't think, I thought that they could bring everything into the afterlife with them, even though they're, you know, worldly possessions. And I don't think there's a single religion that actually supports that. But, you know.
Yeah, no. Emperor Yongle's son, Emperor Hongzhi, planned to move the court back to Nanjing. He never got to act on his plan because he suddenly died less than a year later. This caused many people to believe the Forbidden City was cursed.
The palace closes well before nightfall, because that is when the ghosts appear. But the daytime doesn't keep the ghosts away either. Some visitors say they feel sad and have the sense of great loss when they visit the Forbidden City. Visitors have reported seeing the ghost of a white lady with black hair who's trying to outrun a soldier who is chasing her. Screaming, crying, and the sounds of clashing swords have been heard. There are also claims of piles of phantom bodies on the polished floors. Last but not least, people have seen orbs and pools of blood. Pieces of white silk have been seen floating through the air.
Yeah, I'm sure Lady Sui is probably pissed.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is the white silk being in the air isn't weird because the Forbidden City is still used.
Right.
The swords also make sense because, again, it's still used. Right. Mainly by, like, I think monks and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think so.
The Forbidden City is a very popular tourist attraction, which is visited by up to 8,000 people every day. Of course, after COVID-19, the rules are a little bit different. If you are in Beijing, this really is a must visit.
Yeah. So, I don't see us going to China anytime soon.
No, I mean, but I think I'm not going to say never.
Yeah.
But.
So, I got that story from littlehouseofhorrors.com. And so now we'll move on to Pripyat.
My favorite story.
He's the one who wanted to do this one today.
It's a childhood thing.
I know. I have several stories ready because I wanted to be really prepared, but he was like, no, I want to do this one first. So, all right. The ghosts of history's worst nuclear accident lurk everywhere in the pine forest and overgrown farmland that surround Chernobyl. Dozens of evacuated villages lie frozen in panic, house doors flung open, vast fields serve as open graves for endless rows of radioactive trucks, tanks, and helicopters used in the deadly cleanup 10 years ago. The article was written in 1996, so that I got this from. So that's why. And within full view of the hulking concrete and steel sarcophagus that entombs the source of the Chernobyl nuclear disaster, a once-thriving Soviet model city of 40,000 people, Pripyat, sits starkly empty. So I also read that it was like between 40,000 and 50,000 people. I think there's probably...
Most people say 40,000.
Yeah.
And you're not saying it right because Captain McMillan would be very upset.
What?
So for any viewers...
Oh, God.
Or listeners, I suppose, that played Call of Duty Modern Warfare, which is Call of Duty 4.
Here we go.
Everybody knows the mission. We're going to Pripyat. It's Price and McMillan. And he walks in and he says, 40,000 people used to live here. Now it's just a ghost town.
Oh, God.
And it's like the greatest thing ever. And you should like add that in, like clip it, like find the clip it and put it in. God. Oh, it's so good.
Oh, my God.
Everybody knows it.
50,000 people used to live here. Now it's a ghost town.
Well, I had read, I think I was looking at like a couple different articles and it was various like 40,000 or 50,000. So I'm guessing somewhere between those two numbers is how many people live there.
Well, nobody really knows because it was the Cold War and everybody was falsifying records anyway.
Yeah. Doors bang open and shut in the wind. Hastily abandoned amusement park rides creak noisily. Snowy boulevards are dotted with wolf, boar, and fox tracks outside decaying apartment high rises. I've seen pictures of the, what the heck? The amusement park?
Yes.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Yeah, because in the Call of Duty mission,
oh my God,
your extract is actually at the Ferris wheel. Just saying.
Oh my God. It's really scary at night, says policeman Nikolai Ray at a checkpoint outside this nuclear no man's land. The animals come and any sound echoes all over the city. Eerier still is the knowledge that an invisible killer is still stalking many people. Thousands are already ill or dead from radiation sickness or cancer. Even after 10 years, Chernobyl's terrible human and environmental toll still isn't fully known.
The specter of another tragedy at the still-functioning accident-plagued Chernobyl plant also darkens the future. Western leaders continue to pressure energy-starved Ukraine to shut it down, but the government is holding out for a big aid infusion. The 6th Linden Power Station, which still bears that name, I wonder if it's VI.
I don't know. It's just that's how it was in the article, is V.I, so I don't know. It might be VI.
Was to have been the world's largest nuclear power plant, another showpiece of Soviet scientific and industrial might. Its ill-fated fourth reactor was rushed into operation in 1984, winning bonuses and medals for the construction chiefs. 2 years later, in the early morning hours of April 26, 1986, the unthinkable happened. Never warned that Chernobyl-style graphite core reactors became dangerously unstable at low power, engineers cut power in reactor number 4 below 25% while testing emergency systems. It ignited an explosion, fire, and partial meltdown of the reactor core. Deadly reactor fuel shot into the atmosphere, contaminating about 10,000 square miles and reaching as far as Western Europe. About 5 million people in Ukraine, Belarus, and Russia were affected, the World Health Organization says.
All right, so in a big lie that many feel helped topple a dying regime, Soviet officials from President Mikhail, is that how you say it? Mikhail Gorbachev?
Mikhail Gorbachev,
on down first, hushed up the disaster, then played down its severity. They even sent marching bands to soothe the 130,000 people evacuated from within 18 miles of Ground Zero, assuring them that it was only for a few days. Evidence of the false promise can still be seen in the rubble, strewn apartments of Pripyat, skeletons of cats and dogs that were locked inside awaiting their owners' returns. Oh God, I did not read that. That's so sad. In Kiev, 65 miles southeast, residents remember that the birds stopped singing. Dr. Viktor Klimenko rushed to Chernobyl from Kiev.
You gotta say it with a little bit of a Russian accent. Just a little bit. It's Viktor.
Viktor.
Klimenko.
Okay. Dr. Viktor Klimenko rushed to Chernobyl from Kiev within hours of the explosion and found people washing their hair in a futile effort to get the radiation out. Even though I don't think that's how that works.
Underdeveloped country.
Yeah.
Starting a scientific race with the United States.
Some had foolishly watched the huge fire from rooftops in Pripyat, receiving massive doses of radiation. This is a quote. Children had radiation in their hair, their skin. Everybody was dirty with radiation. I couldn't sleep. Breathing was labored for days too. It was as if you had pepper on your tonsils. And this name is Afonichikin?
Afonichikin? You think this man's name is Afonichikin?
No,
Not Afonichikin.
Sure, Afonichikin, yes. I'm guessing.
Afonichikin.
I'm sure. I think he was just somebody who was there for the article.
You know what the scratching was in their throat? Mm-hmm. There's the radiation in the air eating the lining of their esophagus and their lungs while they were trying to breathe and eat. Yeah, boy. 31 people were reported to have died in the immediate aftermath of the accident. The death toll, however, is a matter of speculation because of the haphazard tracking of the victims. Chernobyl Union claims 150,000 people in Ukraine alone are dead from Chernobyl-related diseases, and 55,000 are invalids. Others say that number is widely overstated in an effort to attract Western aid and contend the deaths are only in the dozens. Non-believers.
Yeah, I wouldn't believe that the deaths are in the dozens for a second.
The cleanup workers are among those who have suffered the most. Hospital beds for these workers spill into the corridors at the Center for Radiology Medicine outside Kiev because of the growing demand for treatment. So the reason why you know it's not a couple thousand is it's what happened at Pripyat is not the equivalency of dropping a nuclear bomb, but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
And when the United States dropped the bombs in Japan, it fluttered through three generations of human beings. So it's like, oh, yeah, the kids are good. They're not affected. Then they'd have kids and they had health problems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then when they had kids, their kids had less health problems, but still had less health problems. Then once the third generation came out, it was like, all right, we're good. It's clear. fantastic.
Yeah. Ugh.
So, plus, you know, they wanted to hide all of it, so they didn't look like failures, and that's why they didn't care. When they told people when the evacuation went out, they said, "Hey, we have a problem at the power station. Grab a suitcase, necessities, and leave. It'll be for a couple days. You can go back." People left. Most people left with, "Oh, I'll be back in a couple days. I can just rock what I'm wearing."
Right, cool, which is whatever. Also why they left their animals and everything too,
because they were told they could come back in a couple days.
Yeah.
So you're like, "Oh, I'll leave some extra food out for, you know, Tojo the dog. Cool, whatever. Great." Turns out you're never going back, and your dog is going to die probably of radiation poisoning before starvation.
Yeah. Haunting in its emptiness, Pripyat is a true symbol of the effects caused by the 1986 Chernobyl nuclear disaster. A whole city abandoned, once a thriving urban center for life, now belonging to nature and the elements. Tenement blocks left empty, playgrounds overgrown with bushes, and derelict public buildings with glassless windows. Originally founded in 1970 and given a status in 1979, Pripyat was created to serve the nearby Chernobyl power plant, housing its workers and their families. The residents of Pripyat were young, the average age being 26, with good jobs and affluent salaries. 20 kindergartens and schools taught almost 12,000 children. All the spaces you'd expect from any city, gyms, parks, shops, and restaurants. The mass evacuation of Pripyat took place on April 27th, the day after Reactor 4 at the Chernobyl power plant exploded. At 11 a.m., buses arrived in the city and the evacuation began around 2 p.m. Residents were told to bring only essential items as they were expected to be away for around 3 days. They never returned to their lives and homes in Pripyat.
Whoops.
I didn't know that was in there. So.
Yeah, not only that,
yeah,
they didn't want to wake people up in the middle of the night because they thought that they could contain it.
Yeah.
And be like, "Well, we only lost one reactor. As long as we can contain the reactor, we're good."
There's no containing it.
Oh, they kind of did. Not very well, though. That's why it's nicknamed the Medusa.
The Medusa?
Yeah, it's nicknamed the Medusa. I don't know if you have it in here.
I don't think so.
So when the core melted, mm-hmm, and it came out, you had a bloom called the Elephant's Foot. They also nicknamed it the Medusa. So it was later called the Elephant's Foot after they got camera footage. And it was the nuclear waste making its way out, and it looks like an elephant's foot. The scientists and the cleanup crew called it the Medusa because if you looked at it, it would burn your retinas out of your skull because you were too close to it.
Oh, my God.
And it doesn't look like anything special. It looks like lava coming out of a volcano like in Hawaii where it turns that black color.
Right, right, right.
Until you, like, see guys freaking out because they're so close to it that you could taste the radiation on your tongue and stuff like that.
Ugh.
And that's why they called it the Medusa, because if you looked at it, you died.
Yeah.
And I think everybody that was close enough to look at it died.
Probably, I'm sure.
Although no one has lived in Pripyat since the evacuation, anything of value left behind has since been taken. One of the places that is most prominent is the former supermarket in the center of the city, where shelves lie in disarray across the floor. A handful of shopping carts, rusted furniture, and signage are all that remain to indicate its former use. The abandoned city is protected by security, but that doesn't stop people from entering regardless. Stalkers are visitors who take a more radical approach to visiting Pripyat, urban explorers who venture inside the building. From time to time, pieces of art pop up on the walls. Some are commissioned and agreed with authorities, however, others have seemingly popped up overnight with the artists unknown. Like many large cities, Pripyat had its own football team, and Avinhard Stadium was the home of the SC Steaua Pripyat.
In 1985, the team finished high in their division with hopes of promotion in the Soviet football leagues in the coming year. After the disaster, no team would ever play at Avinhard Stadium again. Now, trees grow where football games used to take place, and only a section of the stand remains. With a Ferris wheel that's an icon of Chernobyl imagery, Pripyat's amusement park was all set to open on May 1st, 1986. Alongside the Ferris wheel, dodgems and swinging rides awaited excited families. So May 1st, so that was literally a month before. Mm-hmm.
They had just completed it and were going to open it at a giant festival.
No. So it was, I'm sorry, it was set to open literally like 4 days after it happened. I got April and May backwards.
Oh, yeah. I know they were supposed to throw a huge festival. Yes. They had signage and everything out everywhere.
It's reported that the park actually opened early on the morning of April 27th, and it's its one and only day of operation before residents were swiftly evacuated. To this day, the rides still stand. Dodgems left as if they'd been abandoned mid-ride, and the Ferris wheel still towering precariously. Prey to the elements, a feeling that it might succumb to rust and fall any second anchors the sobering feeling that you stand on the tarmac looking up at its somehow still vibrant yellow carriages. The pictures are very, like, creepy. Go ahead, talk about Call of Duty again.
I wasn't going to.
I don't believe you.
It's my childhood. What do you want from me?
God.
No, what I was going to say is they're also astounded at the fact that it's still standing.
Yeah, I know.
After being hit with that amount of radiation and being weathered like that for the last, maybe what,
86.
40,
so, yeah.
Almost 40 years, so yeah. 39 years. Still standing, still strong.
Yeah.
I was going to say that I didn't know that they called people that stalkers, because there's another video game series called Stalker.
Oh my God, here we go.
Which is about going in and, like, getting stuff.
Yeah, which I think that's crazy, too, that people would go and, like, mm-hmm. take the food. It is riddled with radiation.
It's
like
not it's not the food.
Oh, okay.
It's the supermarket's really big and open. It's all that stuff was taken. It's more so to, like, make your mark, say you were there, explore it, blah,
like
blah.
Like the artist and the graffiti and stuff.
I mean, you can literally take. They now do... Now, because, you know, this was written in 96, you said?
Yes.
So it's 29 years old.
Yeah.
So now you can actually do tours with the Russian government involved, and they will take you to certain places so you can see what happened.
Oh, my God.
You probably should have found a newer one, because, like, a lot of this shit has come out.
Probably.
Perched on the edge of the lake, Cafe Pripyat was once a place for the city's residents to gather and socialize. With the floor-to-ceiling stained glass windows, in the summer months, young locals would sit and drink on the cafe's terrace, or head out onto the lake on their sailboats. Pripyat's hospital building had the capacity for 410 patients, as well as extra clinics. Medical equipment and patient records were all left behind after the evacuation. Shocker. The basement of the hospital is perhaps one of the more radioactive sites in the area. The few who break the rules to enter have found the suits of the emergency responders who attended to the site of the disaster. After urban explorers continued to visit the basement, authorities have since attempted to close up the entrances with sand. The remnants of what the residents left behind are chilling, painting pictures of simple, everyday existence before thousands of lives were changed forever. So, going back into my autistic thing, since I know about this.
Yes.
Not only are there different species of animals now in Pripyat because of the radiation.
Right.
The fauna has changed.
Yeah.
So there are sunflowers with 6 and 7 seed heads.
Oh my God, I bet they're so cool looking though.
Yeah, all the plants look great. The newest discovery. Mm-hmm. So they were going to say that Pripyat would not be inhabitable for about 100 to 150 years after the Chernobyl incident.
Mm-hmm.
They're thinking closer to like 2070 now.
Oh, wow.
Because there is now a black mold fungus that has developed, and it eats radiation.
Oh.
It is, its sole purpose in the world is it eats radiation.
Well, that's...
And I think, let me double check the name of it. I'm pretty sure it's called Chernobyl mold. I'm not kidding.
Oh, my God. Well, before I forget, I got this article and information from miniadventures.com. So,
Chernobyl molda is what it's called. It's a black fungus that grows in highly radioactive environments, first discovered in the destroyed Chernobyl reactor and its cooling pools.
Wow.
And it looks not special at all.
Oh, wow.
It just looks like mold. But the only known photo of the elephant's foot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Just looks like molten metal.
Mm, yeah.
The reason why it looks like that is they tried to encase it in lead. There's so much radiation, the lead wouldn't harden.
Yeah.
So then they poured concrete over it.
Oh, God.
So currently the reactor, I think it's some absurd number. Yes. They poured 400,000 cubic meters of concrete over it.
Oh, my God.
And it still is affecting the area with that much concrete around. That's how bad it was.
Oh, my God.
They call it the sarcophagus to try to contain all of it.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. And then the reason why they call it the Medusa is because that gentleman that was taking the photographs of it died.
Oh.
He didn't make it down the hallway.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So the picture I'm showing her is of a guy in a hazmat suit.
Mm-hmm.
The hazmat suit stops at his neck, and all he's wearing is a gas mask and goggles and a hat. And he's about 4 foot from the biggest pile of nuclear waste known to man, taking photos.
Wow.
Only one photo made it out because it melted the freaking camera.
My God.
He made it down the hallway, looked at his general and said, "I don't feel so good," and dropped dead.
Wow.
So that's why they said, "That's the Medusa. Don't go near it."
Don't go near it.
It's fine. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So the other pictures that we have of the elephant's foot
mm-hmm.
had to be taken with mirrors. So they set up mirrors
to try
to capture the angle
mm-hmm.
so nobody would get close enough to it to die.
Oh, man. I still feel like you'd have to be far, far away from it.
Now, me personally, I would go visit Pripyat. No questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to see. And then there's a bunch of movies about it, you know, with the whole...
Oh, yeah.
The mutated deer and all that stuff, you know. It doesn't really do, like, the cool, like, alien. It's got 9 eyes, 4 jaws, and 17 legs and stuff like that. It's just... I got health problems, man.
Yeah. So I will, I still think I have the Instagram open and I definitely still have the Facebook open. I can post pictures on both of those for right now. I know I don't have a website. I do still have the email. So if you have any questions, concerns, comments, story ideas, please feel free to send them to info@3amtalesofterror.com because I have a Google spreadsheet of like all of the episodes that we've done and then all of like my story ideas, and I am running real low on story ideas. So if you have any ideas, please feel free to send them. You can also obviously message on Facebook or Instagram as well if you have any questions or story ideas that you want to bring up. But I will post pictures. That's one thing I want to try and keep up with is pictures with that correlate with the episodes. So for this one, I'll try and post pictures of the Forbidden City. And then like what he was talking about, the pictures that he was showing me as well. So we'll get those. I think that's it that I have to say.
I could go down a whole rabbit hole and talk about Chernobyl for like 3 hours.
I know. Well, we're not doing 3 hour episodes.
Yet.
No. So, okay, well, that's it for our first episode back. I don't know if I will post this one tomorrow or if I'll post it for the first Monday in March. I don't know. We'll see. But
as long as I still sound good,
yeah,
that's all that matters.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're the star. You're totally...
The show is nothing without me.
Yeah, because you're totally not the one that created it, whose idea it was, who's done all the research for it, who's made sure that the episodes get posted on time, who edits it. You don't do any of that.
You're right, but you do film it and record it in the house that I pay for.
Wow. Okay, so on that note, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you next time.
Later.
Bye.